Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, the past few days on Abounding Grace, we've been studying this very exciting call of the Lord given to Abram. And there were two elements to that call: get out of your land and from your family and go to a land that I will show you. So the two elements there were land, country, and family. Now, we asked the question yesterday when correlating that with Christ's strong calls in the gospel: how in the world can a sinner break free from these commitments that totally control us, that we love to have first in our lives? Because the reality is, if someone is to be saved, the separation called for in these calls that the Lord gives will be true. See, we often hear, well, you just need to step out, just like Abram. But I wonder if these people understand at all what that means. The problem that people don't get is that we welcome our commitments to our family and our love to sin, which fundamentally all this pictures here, our love to sin and our love for family and our love for success and our love for prosperity and our love for the land and all these sort of things, way more than some random call from a God we've never seen, with a call that has no real substance, no direction, and no upfront security. Who can do that, I ask? It really bugs me today that so many stand up and say, just step out, as if we can do this in our own power. If you look at Abram, in the life of Abram, you see him in real weakness, actually. Back in chapter 11, he leaves Ur of the Chaldeans with Dad. Where do they go? They stop at Haran. And then if you go to chapter 12 and verse 4, after the call, he packs up and goes from Haran. The call is placed right before this to make the point, and we can only deduce, he hears the call, he hears God's call, and what does he do? Leave your family, he takes Dad with him and goes and stops at Haran. But Haran was another great spot of the moon god. Terah would have loved that. What happens in Haran? Lo and behold, Terah dies. It's very similar to what happened to Elimelech and Naomi in the book of Ruth when they left the land, not trusting the Lord. Elimelech died. The real matter of fact is that we see Abram here in real weakness. In fact, in the next section, he will leave the promised land and go to Egypt because of famine. He will give his wife to Pharaoh. And as we look further, he will try to produce the seed by taking things into his own hand with Hagar. He will do the same thing again with his wife, all over again with Abimelech. And the point is, he constantly fails to trust the Lord for protection. What do we see? He has a difficult time leaving family. He has a difficult time trusting God for deliverance. He is often trying to take things into his own hand. And yet we come to the book of Hebrews, and we have the greatest description of anyone else in Abram in the Bible of what justifying faith looks like. Hebrews 11:8, by faith, Abram obeyed. Abraham obeyed when he called to go out to the place where he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. What does all of this tell us today? What's the real message to us? In and of ourselves, we will not come to the Lord. In fact, our priorities are all wrong. They were terribly evil, and they're terribly evil and in bondage to other masters. When God comes with his call of grace to us, he gifts us with faith. Faith is not like a light switch that we sort of turn on and have there. Faith is a gift, Ephesians 2:10, that the Lord gifts us with. And even though in all of our weakness and failures, his irresistible grace comes and compels us to follow because he changes our hearts. And when we do, we see these things slowly give away, even though it is in weakness. even though we still try desperately to hold on to these things, we are coming. Our loyalties are broken down when we come to Christ. But we must realize, my friends, none of us can come in our own power. The Bible's message is so clear. We're too weak. The fact is, my loyalties to others are too strong than to come to the Lord. I love my sin. I love my family. I love the land I'm in. And I will put them before the Lord by nature every time. The Bible doesn't want us ever to lose sight of the fact of this statement by Jesus: no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. That's a verse we've got to deal with. No man can come unless the Father who sent me draws him. God must draw sovereignly. And let me say, if the Lord decides to draw sovereignly, the sinner is coming. And when he is drawn in such power, those things are let go, sometimes slowly. But we don't want to lose sight of the fact that even in Abram's weakness, faith as of a mustard seed moves mountains. Jesus said, if you have faith as of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And early in Abram's life, we see him quite weak in his faith, but he believed. It wasn't about quantity, it was about quality. He still believed. Yes, that belief is represented in weakness. But the real picture here, and this is such a comfort for us, Abram's weakness cannot frustrate the Lord's sovereign grace and desire to bless. And that's what grace always does. Its blessings come to the sinner with an eye always turned away from the sinner. You know, I heard a pastor the other day say, you know, God just looks at our hearts. He knows what we really desire. He knows what we want. You know, do I need to say that's a bad thing? I don't want God looking at my heart. It's desperately wicked, Jeremiah says. His grace comes to me without any view to my heart. Oh, my heart's so good. Your heart is not good. Jesus said, out of there come murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, violences, all these sorts of things. We don't want God looking at our hearts, my friends. You see, God gives us and comes with his grace without any view to my heart. It's when sinners receive this, when their lives are all out of whack and very dysfunctional. God's grace comes and delivers here Abram from being in bondage to other masters and serving gods on the other sides of the river. And so even when we come in weakness, his irresistible grace compels us to follow. Why? Well, because the real determination and good news here is witnessed in the Lord's determination to bless and to make this one man a blessing to all the nations. In verse 2, 7 blessings are given by the Lord. Before I get there, let me give you the 7 keys to get blessed by the pastor of the largest church in America, Joel Osteen. This is what he says are the 7 keys to get blessed. See if this correlates at all with what the Bible's teaching us here in Genesis. Here's what he says. Number 1, keep pressing forward. Number 2, be positive toward yourself. Notice how this is all inward here. Number 3, develop better relationships. Number 4, form better habits. Number 5, embrace the place where you are. Number 6, develop your inner life. Number 7, stay passionate about life. That's, he says, how you get blessed. That's trash. Over against all of that is what the Bible really pictures. Hopeless sinners stuck in their sin, lost and idolatrous and empty. That's what the Bible says. It's not just about forming better habits or being positive or developing better relationships or embracing the place where you are. Does that mean Abram should embrace the place where he is in Ur of the Chaldeans? Should he develop his inner life there? Should he stay passionate about life there? Is that how you get blessed? Do you see how this is so this worldly? Here comes Yahweh giving 7 blessings because sinners have corrupted themselves. And that is grace. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, he says, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed, Abram. Notice the repetition here. I will, I will, I will, I will. What was the nature of those blessings? Here's the real thing to notice. Unlike what we're hearing today, these blessings were aimed at the future, things to which Abram did not receive in this life. And that is set in stark contrast to what we often hear in search, what we are in search for. Everything in present-day Christianity is about the here and now. Miracles, healings, wealth, money, happiness, success, prosperity, get your best life now. Go down to the local Christian bookstore. On the shelf there, and actually in Barnes & Noble, is your best life now. But what is the real picture here? God comes to bless. I will show you a land. In fact, in verse 7, it says, to your seed I will give this land. Here was this beautiful land of Ur before him. God's saying, I'm going to show you a different one. This was to be the land of Canaan. And in verse 6, we read the Canaanites were in the land. How in the world was that to be? How could millions of inhabitants be cleared from this land? And then he adds to it, I will make you a great nation. We have to understand, that's totally impossible. Sarah is barren. I will bless you and make your name great. But how? He's taking Abram away from the one place where his name was known. How would he be a blessing? And would the God of heaven and earth really set that kind of love upon this idolater to the point that whoever blesses him, God will bless, and whoever curses him, God will curse? And how in the world from this one man can all the nations of the earth be blessed? My friends, listen to this. Do you see how nearly impossible such blessings sound? They are beyond reason, they are beyond evidence, and they are beyond possibility. And then we must compound this with the really difficulty of these blessings, with the fact that these promises were not received by Abram in these blessings in this life. Acts 7 says that. God gave him no inheritance in the land, not even enough to set his foot on. So he enters the land. He has no home there. He never saw his descendants multiplied as the sand of the seashore. He did not receive these things in this life. The point is, my friends, Jesus makes promises to us, but they are for the world to come. We have all these promises of eternal life, the resurrection of new bodies, the assurance of a heavenly home in the world to come. Our best life is in the world to come. We must put our hope and trust in Jesus who makes these things so and travel as pilgrims. We'll look at this tomorrow. As pilgrims through a distant land that is not our own, living by his grace through faith in Christ.
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We spend just a few minutes a day together, but it's our hope and prayer that those few minutes help you grow in your understanding of God's great love for you and I in His Son, Jesus Christ. As always, questions, comments, and prayer requests are more than welcome. We'd love to dialogue with you, especially as it relates to our union in Christ. You can call us 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you would like to write to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. We're here in Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, as always, you're welcome to contact us by phone, especially if you would like directions to the church. If you're planning on a visit, we'd love to see you. We meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. Directions, again, call 360-318-0429. Or better yet, visit our website. Learn a bit more about us here at United Reformed Church in Linden and Abounding Grace, who we are and what we believe. LindenURC.com. Again, LindenURC.com. We even have a map, directions to the church, if you'd like to join us. LindenURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.